Everybody, look at these. I got some awesome notes right here today, but they're not mine. I'm going to hide them down here. So are you guys doing good? Everybody okay this morning? Who had their cup of coffee? Raise your hand. Who didn't and still needs one? Well, today I need you to put on your seatbelt. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to go for a ride. So a light topic today. Stand with me as we read the Word of the Living God. And be patient with me through this one, okay? Here it is. Matthew chapter 19. Chapters 3 through 9. It says some Pharisees came to Jesus, okay, to test him. And they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce? Send her away. Jesus replies, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Father, we love you and praise you, and we thank you for this time we could gather in this place. We gather in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are the great rabbi, the great teacher. And because today is the first day of the week, we gather because this is the day you arose from the dead. And anybody that can raise from the dead is probably smarter than us, and we should at least listen to you. Amen? So, Lord, may your voice speak into our hearts today. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand the world in which we're living in. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch our eyes, that we could understand ourselves and what's deep within our hearts. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand our incredible need for a Savior, our need for you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for things that are happening in the world. Help us to understand them. We pray that you would help us this morning. So God, we just come into your presence. We know that you are with us. So Lord, we love you. We trust you. We declare you're good God. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. All those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's good to see you this morning. So you guys, so much has happened in the last week. Pretty tough images coming out of the Middle East. Yes? So Pastor Frank has been to the Middle East 11 times. The horrible images that are coming out, I've been to some of the cities. Lots of killing has happened in the Middle East, and a lot of killing's going to happen in the Middle East. It's a complex issue. It's so complex. Go there. But do you want me to give you a nutshell? Here's the nutshell. You ready? Here's the nutshell. If the Arabs was to drop all of their weapons, there would be peace in the Middle East. If the Jews were to drop all of their weapons, they would be slaughtered, just like you saw them last week. They would be as Auschwitz and Dachau. 8 million of them would be wiped out if they dropped their weapons. That's the nutshell. The reasons for this is complex. It's racial. It's religious. Both in the Quran and in the Bible, both groups has claim to the Holy Land. For we that watch this, it's hard, and we're kind of powerless, aren't we? It's a mess. Have you noticed lately that we live in a broken, fallen world? Has anyone noticed that lately? Have you noticed lately that we human beings have an amazing capacity to hurt one another? We humans do this to ourselves. Have you noticed this? This last week, as I was watching the images of the slaughter of innocents, right? Disgusting. I was reminded. So people, this is what the Bible, this is what the The Bible describes that we are all fallen human beings. The Bible describes in Genesis 6:5 that we are bent toward evil in our fallen state. That our hearts are swollen with pride. Proverbs 16:5 and James 4:6. That our hearts are prone to deceit. Jeremiah 17:9. That our hearts are hardened, we're stiff-necked, right? Psalm 95:8. Matthew chapter 6. Our hearts are stubborn. Jeremiah 3:17. And we in our foolishness are prone to walk away from God. Romans chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. Because of this, we human beings are a mess. It's the truth. Have you ever diagnosed yourself? All I can say here is this. People, we need Jesus in the world. If Jesus was in the Middle East right now, if followers of Jesus was in the Middle East right now, there would be no war. Did Jesus command you to kill anybody? Anyone? What did Jesus tell you to do? You who live by the sword shall... Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Even from the cross, what does Jesus say? Forgive them, Father. This is the teachings of Jesus. He never commands any of us to kill anybody in his name. And all those that did kill people in the name of Jesus were misinformed. Amen? If somebody went and killed somebody in your name, is that your fault? It's not. But when you read Jesus, the world's a mess. The world needs Jesus, and here's the deal. You ready? We need Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Amen. So, Pastor, so I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine. That means I'm the pastor of the city, the Irvine Police Department. I've been the pastor of the Irvine Police Department since 2006. Chaplain Frank, that's my title. I've done a lot of ride-alongs with police officers. And so a few years ago, I was riding with an officer, and we got a phone call out that there was a domestic disturbance in Northwood. It was 10:30 in the morning. We went to this house in Northwood, and we knocked on the door. The lady opened the door. Her hair was disheveled. She had some bruises on her. Her clothes looked like they had been tugged. She allowed us in her house. When we entered her house, there was the floor was a mess. The kitchen table was up on its side. There was broken dishes. And as we walked in the door to the left, there was this cute little girl, maybe 4 or 5. Okay. I'll never forget her face, people. So I gave him the look like I'm going over here because he had things to do. He had to write a report. He needed to ask her questions. There was a female police officer that was coming on the way in order to check her body and see if there's, you know, right. So while they're doing all their stuff, I'm just over here, and I started to sit next to this little girl, introduced myself to her. She was watching cartoons, okay? And as I started with light talk. Hi, I'm Chaplain Frank. You know, what are we watching? Is this your favorite cartoon? What's your favorite cartoons? At that time, so this was a few years ago, she had a list of all of these, like, DVDs. What's your favorite show? You know, what's your favorite cartoon? Chit-chat, right? And at one point I said, so did your mommy and daddy, did they yell at each other today? And she said, yes. Did your daddy hit your mommy today? Yes. And I told her, your mommy and daddy are just trying to work through some things and it's not your fault. Why did I say that? Because little children internalize it that it's their fault that mommy and daddy are fighting. Okay? So So once the lady police officer showed up, we had a report, we got in the car, and we drove to this husband's work, and we arrested him for domestic violence. Light topic, right? We took him to the police station. He was very stoic. He was very matter-of-fact, compliant. And after we had done booked him, his name's Sean, he says, "Hey, so our chaplain's with us today. He says, would you like to talk to our chaplain? Whatever you say to him is off the record. And would you like to talk to our chaplain?" And to my surprise, he said, yes. So we went in the back room and we closed the door. There's nothing on. And all of a sudden he broke down in tears and started crying. Started saying how his wife kept saying that he's a loser and how she keeps wiping out their credit cards every month and he can't afford to keep up with this. And he started just breaking down and weeping and crying. And I told him, I said, "Man, you have such a beautiful family. You have such a beautiful family. Your daughter's so beautiful. You know, I pray that you guys can work this out." And he shook his head and he got composure. He said, "My marriage is over." He says, "It's over." And I prayed for him. So we at Woodbridge Community Church have been doing a series on relationships, haven't we? Right? We've been talking about relationships, healthy relationships in hurting times. As we've been doing this series, we've been talking about why are relationships so important to us. And theologically, the reason is because you're made in the image of God. God is a relational being, and that means you're a relational being, and you were designed for relationships. That's why they're so important to you. People, what you're taking to heaven is relationships, nothing else. God is a relational being, you are a relational being. But why then, Pastor Frank, are they so difficult? They're so difficult because when you read the Bible, we're fallen people. The Bible in Genesis 3 says that we're fallen. When things fall, they break. You're broken. You are broken. You're broken and so am I. That's why we need a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, it describes our brokenness. And in Genesis chapter 3 is the first mention of a coming of a Savior for our lives. In this series, we've talked about families. We've talked about friendships. We've talked about marriage. What about divorce? What would Jesus say about divorce? Jesus would say that it's absolutely awesome. You should all try it, and it's a lot of fun. Not. Everybody say not. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Not. It's not. What would Jesus say about divorce? So 2,000 years ago, the dude's walking on water and raising the dead. He's healing the lame and the sick. Jesus is totally, radically touching and impacting humanity in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Galilee, in Nazareth, all over. Everywhere, man. Jesus is now the talk of the Middle East. And one day when he's up in the religious leaders come up to Jesus one day and they have a question for him. "Jesus, what's your take on divorce?" Okay? "What do you say?" See, back in the day, there was different religious rabbis that had different teachings on divorce. Some rabbis would say you could divorce your spouse for any and every reason. If they're mean to you, leave them. If they cooked you a bad meal, leave them. Right? If they ran up your credit card, leave them. I don't know. They don't have credit cards back. And there was another camp saying, no, it's something you shouldn't leave, right? So, okay, we'll read it one more time. Ready? Here it is. Matthew chapter 19. Here it is. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They wanted to find out his thoughts on this. "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" That's a good question. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that beginning the Creator made them male and female? He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two becomes one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Right? Why then, they asked, did Moses command them that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? If what you're saying is true, then why did Moses do that? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hardened. Welcome to the human race. Because your hearts were hardened. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. So what camp is Jesus in back in the day, if you entered the Jewish mindset of the first century? Some say that you can leave for any and every reason, and some say that no, it's very specific reasons. What camp are you in, Jesus? Guess what camp Jesus is in? Neither. He points to the scripture. I'm not going to enter into debate between this camp and that camp. What does the Bible say? That's not a bad way to approach our faith, people. What does the scripture say? Don't try to avoid Arminianism, Calvinism, what does the scripture say, right? I like that. Jesus says, man, what does the scripture say? Haven't you read, he replied, at the beginning. Haven't you read? Has anyone read this yet? Haven't you read, in the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? What God brings together, let no man separate. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, time out. Are you saying then that God doesn't allow for divorce? That's the question. Does he? Answer? Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts are hard. But it wasn't this way, people. In the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the Garden of Eden. Before sin entered the world. What Jesus is saying here is that divorce is not God's idea. It's clear that God did not design divorce. As a matter of fact, he says he hates it. Did you all know that? Did you know that? Take notes with me this morning. Just journey with me a little bit on this, okay? Ready? Note number one. Here it is. Jesus says that God permits divorce, but he never intended divorce. It wasn't his idea. God created one man and one woman and desired that they keep their vows in a lifelong commitment, period. Do we live in a perfect world? Answer? No, we don't, do we? Look around. But see, here's the deal. I want you to know this. We did when marriage was first made. We did when marriage was first made. We lived in a perfect world when God made marriage. But then sin entered the world. And sin entered marriage. Because we're a mess, our marriages are hard. Yes? So what does God do? He permits Moses to allow people to divorce in the Old Testament. On what grounds? For any and every reason? Answer? No. For what reasons? Are you ready for this? For the same reasons God got divorced. Did you know that God's divorced? Did you? Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Check this out. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not. And her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear, and she went also and committed. Did you know that God in heaven is divorced? See, here's the deal. In Exodus chapter 19, God says, I am God who's brought you up out of Israel. I am your God. I brought you up out of Egypt, and you will be my God, and I will be your people. And there was a covenant made between God and his people. And he says, I will be your God and you will have no other. And everybody said, amen. It's Exodus 19, Exodus 20. God in his mind sees that he is married to his people. And what his people end up doing is they end up worshiping other gods. And God calls that spiritual adultery. He says that you claim that I'm your God, but you're sleeping with this God and this God. You're worshiping this God and this God. And God says you're committing adultery. And he finally said, we're divorced. What was the grounds of God's divorce? Adultery. Adultery. And Jesus is consistent with this when he's talking about this. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Note number two, write this down. Marital unfaithfulness is grounds for divorce. If your spouse is sleeping with somebody else, do you have a problem? Answer? Yes. It's not like, oh well, it's actually this is sin. And it's so destroys this marriage that it's actually grounds for divorce. FYI. Is there any other justifiable grounds that God allows for divorce? Is there? Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. So Paul is now writing to the church at Corinth, and they're asking about this. He says, to the rest I say this, I not the Lord. If any brother who has a wife is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. If a woman has a husband who's not a believer and he's willing to live with her, don't divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. That's an awesome thought. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. Wow. But, here it is, but, if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. Let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. Not bound to what? Their vows. Their vows. Their wedding vows. Note number three. Got this one? Want to write this down? Desertion or abandonment appears to be another justifiable grounds for divorce. Right? Getting that down? Seems to be so. We're good. I give you note one, right? Yeah. God permits it, but he doesn't intend it. You got that? I'm just double checking. I want to make sure I'm doing this right. Okay. So adultery and abandonment are two clear circumstances where divorce is justified in the scriptures. Are you guys with me so far? Right? Okay, but listen to me. This is God's intent. Ready? Marriage is the only social institution that God ordained before the fall of man. God ordained this beautiful relationship, this social institution of marriage before the fall. People, marriage is between a male and a female, according to Jesus. Is he wrong? It involves physical intimacy and children and family. That's biology. And it involves, check this out, it's a covenant between God and them. It's a covenant between God and them. And when you read Malachi chapter 2, God says that I heard your vows that you made with me, and you are sealed in marriage. The three of us are in this marriage thing. And actually, God says he holds us to our wedding vows. Did you know that? Does God allow for marriage to be dissolved? Answer? Yes. But as you read the scriptures, it always says it should be the last resort. I mean, even look at God. Did God sin for divorcing Israel? Answer, no. God's divorced. But notice this. It's funny always try to stick it out. It should be the last resort. Again, listen to this. Jeremiah 3, 6 and 7. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. They're worshiping Baal, Asherah, Moloch, whatever, right? The gods of the day. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me. But she did not, and her unfaithful sister saw it. Even after adultery happened, God said he was still hoping that they could work it out. Jeremiah 3:14 says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord. For I am your husband. I will choose you, one from a town and two from a clan, and bring you to Zion. Even after adultery's happened, God still wants to work it out. And what Paul is writing under the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians says the same thing. Stick it out. He's saying, hey, if you're married and this person, stay in your marriage, man. But if the unbeliever leaves and you're abandoned, then you're not held to your vows. But stick it out. Stick it out. So this is what's so amazing about this topic when you read the scriptures. This is what blows my mind. God allows for divorce in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament. And yet at the last book of the Old Testament, he still says he hates it. He allows for it, but he hates it. And that's an awesome note. Write this one down. Here's note number 4. God allows for divorce in the beginning of the Old Testament, but he says he hates it at the end of the Old Testament. He allows it, but he hates it. Why? Ask a person who's been divorced. There are a lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of people in this church that have gone through divorce. Ask them. Was that fun? Did you enjoy that? I've yet to meet anyone who went through divorce saying, that was so awesome, I can't wait to do that again. God says he permits it, but he hates it. If you're here today, praise God for the young people. This is Youth Month, right? And we're honoring our youth. And they're just watching. We're talking about relationships. It's so important for all of us. If any of you have never been married and you're thinking of getting married, you should probably talk to somebody who's been married and got divorced and ask them, what did you learn from that, right? You will never hear anybody who's gone through it saying that was awesome. All of them will tell you with tears, with guilt, with shame, hurt, how it affected them, how it affected their children. Avoid it at all cost. That's why God hates it. Hey, people, how much divorce do you think God has seen? The eyes of the Almighty, how much pain and suffering has the Almighty seen that's been caused through divorce? A lot? That's why he hates it. He sees the effects of divorce. He sees the pain. He sees the scars. He sees mom. He sees dad. He sees the husband. He sees the wife. He sees the children. He sees the whole thing. I just described for you me as a chaplain walking in one day, but this is all over the city of Irvine all the time. God's eyes are always there. He sees the effects. Here's the deal. Divorcing sometimes solves certain problems, but it creates problems too. There's always a price to pay if you travel down this path. And here's the last note, and this one's so important. You ready? Marriage should not be entered into lightly and should not be left lightly. Marriage should not be entered into lightly, and it should be not, you just don't leave it because you think it's a great idea. Right? So, and if someday you're thinking of putting one of these on your finger, be really smart about it. You don't just go, I think I'll get married today. No, 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 no. We're in Vegas and I met this guy and we just went and got married at the wedding chapel and boom! And then we got sober. Really? That's called being a F-O-O-L. The Bible calls that a fool. You don't enter into marriage lightly. As a matter of fact, you should probably have your head on really straight when you're journeying down this path. Amen? This is one of these things when you should be going, okay, I need to really be thinking this through. As I'm journeying down this path, if there's ever a time for you to be just really in tune with God and try, this is really big in your life. It's a big deal. And it's, if you choose wisely, you're going to have, okay, do you guys remember Raiders of the Lost? Oh, no, The Last Crusade. Indiana Jones. I love Indiana Jones. You guys remember Indiana Jones? Okay, so Indiana Jones was the Lost Ark, right? And he finds the Ark. That was the first one. The second one was terrible. And then, and Spielberg got a divorce. Do you know that? And he says that second one was my fault. I quit smoking. So then I want to apologize. And number three he made, it was called The Last Crusade. You remember that one with Sean Connery? Does he remember this? Raiders of the Lost Ark, Sean Connery? Okay. At the end of the movie, they're trying to find the Ark of the Holy Grail. Remember that? And if you find the right one, it brings, you know, mystical stuff. The guy drank, he chose unwisely. What happened? He drank it and he died. And this knight says he chose unwisely. Choose wisely. Amen? It's divorce. It's marriage. Think it through. Be smart. Let me ask this question as we close today. Has anyone sinned this last week? Raise your hand. Anyone sin? Anybody sinned this last week? Raise your hand. Anybody? Have you ever looked theologically? The definition of sin means miss the mark. It's actually an archery term. Did you know that? If we went to the pistol range today, because we don't shoot too many archery, if you miss the bullseye, it's called sin. Perfection is the bullseye. Anytime you and I miss perfection, it's called sin. But it's also, there's different words for sin. It means fall short. It means evil. Sin means doing and not doing. It means hardness of heart. It's arrogance. It's knowing the truth and disliking it. That's sin. It's a trespass. It's an iniquity. That's what sin is. Did anyone do that this week? Did you know the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Is there anybody in here who doesn't need the blood of Jesus in your life? Anyone? Remember when Jesus, somebody brought him this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, what did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He who has not sinned, throw the first stone. Anybody in here willing to throw stones at anyone else? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us need the blood of Jesus. Did you know that all sins are forgiven except one? Do you know what one it is? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole new theological thought. A willful, knowledgeable rejection of Christ is blasphemy of the Spirit. A believer can't commit this sin. And the people that, the sin that will never be forgiven is somebody that knows that Jesus is the Christ, knows that, and he says, I just reject it. And how many times does people get a chance to accept Christ before there's no more chances? Is divorce the unpardonable sin? Answer? No. No. It's not the unpardonable sin. It's always forgivable. Always forgivable. People, the cross can handle all of our sins. All of them. All means all, and that's all it all means. The blood of Jesus cleanses you before a holy God. Period. This is the good news of the gospel, right? See, Pastor Frank, I need the blood of Jesus every day in my life. Someone cuts in front of me on the 5 freeway, and in my mind, I say something in my head, right? I used to have a really bad potty mouth. Does anyone know what that is? Potty mouth. And if I can translate it and maybe have a different word coming out this way, you stinker, you jerk, Lord, forgive me, right? Forgive me, forgive me. I am a broken man. I am a person who found a place. I found a place to eat at the table of Jesus. I have found living water to drink. I am a beggar who's just found a place to eat at the throne of Christ. And so are you. There's no judgment here, right? There's no judgment here. But if we can learn and be wise as we enter into this, so be it. Amen? Amen? Divorce. Divorce. Pastor Frank, what about divorce? Well, this is what Jesus would say about it. It's marriage is something that's so beautiful, and it absolutely blesses humanity if it's done in the ways of Christ. Families being raised, husband and wife loving one another, taking care of each other. They're on the same team. They're working this out. They're raising their kids. They love the Lord. They're serving one another. They're loving one another. They're forgiving one another. Marriage is supposed to be an amazing blessing. Well, what happens when it dissolves? It's not good, but it happens. The reason it happens is because you and I are a mess. And if we can avoid it at all costs, then amen. And our kids would love for us to stay together if at all costs. Amen. But sometimes it's not possible. What should this guy do? What should she do? When I went out on that call, what would Jesus have told those people on that call? He's arrested. He hit his wife. That's assault and battery. What would Jesus tell him? Repent. Right? Jesus would tell that man, tell your wife you're sorry and you're going to work on your anger. Love her. What would he tell her? Don't call your husband worthless. Try to not stop spending money. You're stressing him out. You're making yourself go broke. You can't do this. It's marital infidelity, and some would say that. He would tell these two to forgive one another and love one another. In Christ, any marriage in time would survive and thrive if both people would be willing to unconditionally commit themselves to each other and unconditionally commit themselves to the Lord. If they both would be willing to do those two things, any marriage will thrive in time. Do I hear an amen? That's the truth, but it's Christ. What God brings together, let no man separate. He created all things, and in him all things hold together. People, I'm a better husband when I follow Jesus. I'm a better father when I follow Jesus. If I follow me, I mess myself up every time. It's this submission to the Lord and God. It's a covenant. We're brought into one relationship together. We do this, it works. Does this make sense? Ah, but God permits divorce. Yes, he does. And there are grounds for divorce. And though he permits it, he never intended it, and he still says he hates it. Amen? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room today. I ask, Lord God, that you would just speak into our hearts. Jesus, what about divorce? Should we talk about this one? Yeah, let's talk about it, right, Lord? I pray for those that are in here today that have never been married or thinking about getting married, Lord, that they would just listen to you, Lord God, and they'd be really smart in their decisions and how they go about doing this. Lord, I pray for the marriages in this room and ask you, Lord, again today, that you would just comfort those in this room, that you would teach the husbands to love their wives, to serve their wives, to protect their wives, to watch over their wives, to defend their wives. Lord, teach the wives to love their husbands and to be kind to their husbands. Help marriages to be what they're supposed to be. I ask this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for those in here who've experienced divorce, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have washed us clean, that our sins have been cast as far as from the east as from the west, never to be mentioned again. All sins washed away in Christ. Lord, I pray for us all in this room to walk with peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with each other. This we pray for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen. Okay. Wait, one more amen?
Amen.
How you guys doing? Is that all right? Did we survive?
Yes.
You okay? So this week, could be in small groups, we'll talk about this, right? Here's the deal. Our faith is an intelligent faith. Do you all know that? Our faith is an intelligent faith. Our scriptures are historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, prophetically unbelievable. This God has proven himself. He's real. Our faith is an intelligent faith. Join this class with C.S. Lewis, the greatest Christian thinker of the 20th century. A person who didn't believe in God, who came to faith in God because of his searching into it. He tried to disprove God. He became a believer. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Take Mike's class starting in a couple weeks. By the way, this right now after class, Pastor Vince is going to be doing an amazing class on just dealing with conflict in relationships. Don't go to that. Our faith is an intelligent faith, but here's the deal. You ready for this? Our faith is a supernatural faith. Our Jesus can raise from the dead. Our Jesus can walk on water. And our Jesus breaks chains in people's lives. He sets captives free. I've even seen him heal bodies. I've seen him do miracles. I've seen God do miracles. The scripture says in James chapter 5 that if anyone needs prayer, to seek out the leaders of the church and let the leaders pray over them. If you're here today and you need prayer, we do this after the message every Sunday. Instead of you coming to the church on Tuesday and asking for the leaders to pray over you, we'll pray for you now. And so I'm going to ask for the leaders to come and stand here with us today. So, and by the way, Senny will, and Megha's going to be in the back, right? So my beautiful bride, come on up here. Where's Sandra? Where's up in the balcony? We've got, there's Pastor Graham up in the balcony. We've got Pastor Vince. We've got the Chows up in the balcony. Let's see. Who else are we looking for? There's my leader. PJ, come on up here. These are the leaders of the church. And here we are. If you're here today and you need a touch from God, maybe you're here today and you just have a heavy burden. Maybe you're here today and you just need God to do a miracle in your life. Let us pray for you in the name of Jesus. The Bible even says if someone's body's broken, to anoint them with oil and pray over them. And God might choose to heal. The Lord does amazing things. Here's the deal. He's here. He's with us. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing two songs. The first one's called Oceans. It's a beautiful song. And then we're going to be doing a song called The Desert Song. Father, is there anybody in this room, God, that needs prayer? Father, is there anybody in this room that you want to do a touch in their life? God, I pray that your will be done in this place. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just blow freely amongst this place. Spirit of God, do your work among us. Cleanse us, restore us, renew us, and refresh us. We pray this all would happen for the glory of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, Amen. So let's worship the Lord. And if anybody needs prayer, then you come up and receive prayer. And if you're sitting here and you're worshiping God and you find someone coming forward, would you just pray for them? Because maybe they're hurting and they need your prayers. So let's connect with God. Amen. Worship the Lord.